Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We also love the Rivers. Just want to make that clear. Our Thursday hangout, the Rivers Casino, where they treat us like gold. And we were drinking some incredible milkshakes from Stacked.
That was the good stuff.
First class people over there at the Rivers. We have OTA's breakdown here, Malzi.
I like a little OTA's breakdown.
We have...
Big fan.
From day three, the biggest news to come out of there today. We start with T.J. Watt and Richie Walsh.
New coordinator, couple new coaches. How do things change?
A little bit, just from the day-to-day, how we do things. But overall, I mean, the scheme is the same. Obviously, a lot of the players are the same as well. So, culturally, I don't see much changing.
Brian Flores in. Terrell Austin, new defensive coordinator. Scheme is the same. Not much changing.
T.J. Watt. They pretty much tell me to go out there and be the best player on the field, and I don't anticipate that changing very much. I would like that to believe that T.J. Watt is smoke screening there and that it will tweak a little bit.
But if the scheme is the same, would that not make you feel like Tomlin will take
most
input
of it
from those two guys, but really he's still
calling
the shots?
He better
that's
really
how I
love
take
the
it.
Input. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's how I would take it too. Yes.
I think if Flores is the defensive coordinator, their scheme is different. There's probably all new terminology to it. Just like when Canada took over for Figner, it was an entirely different offense with new labels and new terms and new titles put on everything.
I mean,
that tells
me
that Flores is really here to just kind of tweak things.
Well, yeah, but I mean, can't you install like a little like a concept here and use this whatever the Steelers' verbiage would be for it? I would hope.
I mean, Watt could have said there, "Hey, we got a bunch of new coordinators. We're doing things differently," and left it at that. Didn't have to hand over, you know, all of the spices to the Colonel's fried chicken
recipe.
The
11.
Yeah, I mean that's.
I think the thing I don't like about that. Well. What it makes obvious to me is that they feel that a lot of their defensive problems last year were connected to who was and wasn't healthy on the roster or available to them, which I guess would make me think that on some level, too, that's another subtle sign that they think Tuitt's going to be back, among other things, and they're going to be just fine, thank you. Which I don't know about.
Here is America's most overpaid offensive lineman, Chukwuma Okorafor.
Twitter perception, not my perception. Twitter perception was that was a lot of money to spend for a guy that hadn't played maybe a day.
Trust me, I really don't care what guys on Twitter have to really say. if Mike T and coach, everyone upstairs think I was worth that much, that's what's really what matters to me. I could care less what anyone on Twitter or Instagram and anyone says about me, truly.
Good advice to live by?
To not care about what people say about you?
On Twitter and Instagram. Even Instagram catching a stray there. I don't even know people really said mean things on Instagram.
Oh,
Amanda
do.
Always tells
yeah,
me that
do.
It's a much safer place
it
where
is
there's
better.
Just pictures and everything's lovey-dovey.
Yeah, it is a more positive place.
Happy-go-lucky.
I mean, if we're talking...
But Chooks is even calling out the Instagram users that didn't like his contract.
On the Venom-o-meter, Instagram is easily the nicest. It's a hard contest, though, between Twitter and Facebook.
Yep, I'm not even on Facebook, so I'll take your word for it.
Twitter, you still have... I think you should do a social media consultancy. Just try to explain to pro athletes your approach to Twitter, which is just
Well, the problem is I'm the egregious offender of exactly what Chooks is speaking
Talking
out against.
Trash.
I call him America's most overpaid offensive lineman.
Yeah, but people like say horrible things to you and you don't react. And it sounds like Chooks is taking a page out of that playbook. I mean, I get lumped in because people tweet both of us. People do a thing. They get so mad on you at you on Twitter.
Yeah.
They tweet me stuff they hate about you, then tag you in it as if both of us aren't sitting 8 feet from each other and just see the exact same things. Like, what do they expect?
Donnie, do you
what
catch
do they expect
any shrapnel?
Me to do? Go like, oh, yeah, I think Pony's a complete moron, too.
Is there any Donnie football guilt by association?
I do notice some, but I mean, you know, I don't really worry about it. But I've seen a couple that I chuckle at, like, you're hanging out with that Filippone too much. Thinking like, well, yeah, I work with the guy.
Yeah, like, again, what do people think the relationship is here, that we're hostages?
I mean,
what
am I trying to do? Like, get you addicted to crack cocaine? I mean, is that really how bad of an influence I am?
No, you're trying to do something even more serious. Get him addicted to your bad opinions, apparently. That's what people are suggesting.
Well, if thinking Chooks is the most overpaid offensive lineman and that's a terrible contract makes me the author of bad opinions, I will take that claim and I will run with it and I will own it. If that's what calling Chooks the most overrated, overpaid offensive lineman in the NFL.
The only thing about calling him that is mildly concerning to me is, and you would know every offensive lineman and what they're making probably off the top of your head, there's got to be at least one person who's worse than him and making more money than him.
I think the reaction among people I know when that contract got handed out was, what kind of dirt does he have on the Steelers that he got that money, that he got paid like that? They didn't just bring him back on a Terrell Edmunds deal. They paid him some big buckaroos.
Big smackers.
Chase Claypool talking about how much he sucked last year and Diontae Johnson.
Indication of when Diontae might join you guys out here?
Yeah, I know Diontae's grinding no matter where he is. Mm. I know a lot of people are looking into it, but I wouldn't look into it too much because he's perfecting his craft and he's going to come ball out. So,
is it a big deal he's not here?
I don't think it's a big deal, no. I know people will make it a big deal because they need clicks and stuff, but it's not a big deal. We're going to get work in the offseason.
With all the changes in your room and the guys you lost, is that another reason to come in? Kind of.
He's been here for a little bit, and he's studying his playbook regardless of where he's at. So I think he'll be all right. I know we miss him, but you got to take his time and perfect his craft.
How weird is it not having been?
All right, hold on a second here.
He's got to perfect his craft?
Yes.
Is that what he said there?
He's got to perfect his craft.
By not being here.
He's got to perfect his craft by working with tennis balls and not the two quarterbacks who are competing for a starting job.
Three, Pony.
Sorry. Sorry, Chris Oladukun. My bad, man.
Very good.
Yeah, because that's what helps build a rapport with two new faces, is doing it on your own. If he was thinking to himself, I'm going to take hits that I don't want to put on my body because I'm going into my contract year, I would understand that 100%. That is not what happens this time of year. You go there, you run. You catch passes from guys in shorts and a t-shirt, which is the same thing these guys do on their own time anyways.
They basically get the muscle memory back and just kind of hang out with their teammates.
Right.
That's what it is. It is as low stress as possible. I must pause for 1 second to point out the, I don't know, it's not irony, but just how amused I am that Claypool says, oh, you guys need to get clicks. Like a guy who, for my money, is just a rabbit ears social media guy, just can't help himself but to say, oh, it's just the media wanting to get clicks. Okay.
And Juju out here. I mean, that.
Yeah, the vet presence, you know, is missed, but Mitch is doing a good job stepping up. And even Kenny and Mason are, popping in and encouraging us and, you know, showing a lot of energy. So it's pretty cool to see that from, some of the guys that haven't been here in a long time.
I would read into that right now Claypool thinks Trubisky is going to be the starter.
We said him first, and yep. Then he threw in Ann Kenny, and then there was a pause.
I guess Mason, too.
And Mason, too.
Let me just spread the love around to everybody.
How do you see your role in this offense changing?
Yeah, I hope to be more versatile in terms of what position I play, inside, outside. I'm trying to work all the positions, and I'm
I'm trying to put myself in a position where maybe I mess up a play, and I do that because I can learn from that and then perfect it for the season.
Looking back, how do you evaluate your second season?
You know, ups and downs. I know a lot of people are, you know, going to say I was terrible, but, you know, there are some good things, some bad things, and we learn from the bad things and make the good things better.
How much does that motivate you going forward this season to have a...
Yeah, I always try to be the best receiver in the league. You know, people spin it like I don't care or anything, but I do care, and I do work my ass off every day. I'll keep doing that until I'm the best receiver in the league.
Yeah.
All right, that last part, kind of a throw-in. I actually like the... See, this is the problem. I run into this, too, on the air. Like, this is a problem for me as a talk show host. Sometimes I make, I think, a pretty good point, but then I feel like I have to add more on, and by the end, it's unrecognizable. Chase Claypool saying, I'm going to be the best receiver in the league. I guess I like the confidence.
Hold your horses, buddy.
The first part where he says, I'd like to be more versatile, that was like a nice bowl of porridge.
Well, yeah, because last year they wouldn't use him inside, and that left us with Ray McLeod getting a ton of snaps once Juju went down.
Correct. Because
they didn't either work him in or feel like they wanted to get him.
But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Saying the first part of that, hey, good man, I want you to do that. The second part, like, buddy, I would like it if you were the fifth best receiver in the division.
I know a lot of people say I was terrible last year. That might have been a shot at you, Donnie.
Oh. Yeah, you were not having
it. You were as down on Chase Claypool as I've ever seen a football guy get on a player.
You went to that Minnesota game. You saw that ugly first down point that was just completely uncalled
for. How about when he took the penalty
for
hitting the corner for Minnesota's helmet for no good reason?
A football guy knows you need to be disciplined. Keep your head on straight.
I mean, hey, he just has to take the Chooks method. Just don't worry about it.
He also turns
everybody out.
He also turns a 50-50 ball into a 10-90 ball.
That's something that they've said about Pickens, is that he can go up and win those 50-50 balls.
Fitzgerald turned those into 90-10 Larry.
More like 99-1.
And Claypool turns that into, wow. He actually caught one of those.
To be fair,
I'm shocked.
This isn't to say to be fair to him, like, oh, he can't do anything about it. But don't you remember this, man? When they drafted him and we were all trying to wonder, how is this guy in the second round at his measurables, right? The height, the weight, the 40.
Yeah, he had Calvin Johnson-like combine numbers.
Right, but didn't people tell us that he didn't play as big as his stature?
We had a lot of Notre Dame experts, a lot of Notre Dame lovers.
He didn't go up and win those balls that were 50-50? So that's played out so far.
Specifically, I guess, last year, they were like, hey, I have to get better at this.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the 50-50 balls, I wouldn't stay on my feet. So I got to stay on my feet. I got to get a little more yak, I feel like. And then I can't be dropping no passes.
You feel like you set the bar high your rookie year?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people say I was terrible last year, but the numbers are similar. I wasn't happy with last year. You know, I didn't take a big step back at all, and people are going to freak out and say I did, but I didn't, and I'll be good this year.
Does that bug you when you hear that one?
No, I never care about what people say about me unless they're family or friends or something. I know it's people's jobs to kind of paint a picture. I'm just here to do my thing and have fun doing it.
Well, he is right that the numbers were pretty much the same, but that's the problem.
People expected a jump.
You're
he
supposed
said he didn't
to get
go-
better in year two, not actually. The stats are almost identical, except the touchdown numbers are way down.
See, I think the problem for him is, and where I feel
from
good,
11 to 2.
So I think that this is a truth. You expect players to make the leap from year one to year two to be a lot better in year two. I even think his own coaches, I think Mike Tomlin would agree with what I'm saying here, that staying status quo with just one number going down like that, the touchdown number, is actually a bad year because there's an expectation on the coach's part, you're going to get better, don't you think?
Whatever happened to being your own worst critic, huh?
Could you take a page out of the Mulsey playbook?
Whatever happened to saying, guess what? I was disappointed with the way I played last year. This is a guy that told NFL Network before the season that he was going to have 20 touchdown catches, and he had two. Why couldn't he have just said, look, I didn't like the year I had. I'm going to be way better this year, and I'm working to be way better. That would have put me in a much, you know, I hate to do this with Steelers wide receivers, but they get on my damn nerves. Claypool and Johnson irritate the hell out of me.
They grind your gears?
Oh, they do. Who did that? Was that...
Family Guy.
That's right. Alan Griffin?
Peter Griffin. Alan Griffin?
Archie Griffin, I was going to say.
Two-time Heisman winner, Archie Griffin. You know what really grinds my gears?
That's the first
name. Arch Schleister.
That's the first name, Archie Griffin, that popped into my head. Oh, man. Were you a big Family Guy guy?
It was funny. I was more of a South Park guy. Which, that show is still going. And people apparently say it's still pretty good.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Mike Florio in an hour. Pony and Mueller, I leave for Canada tomorrow, I'm afraid, because I'm going to Quebec City and I don't speak any French. And
the Quebecois,
I don't know
how
they're going to feel about that.
Yeah, they're not always friendly about that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be on my own most days because my wife's working.
You think you'll eat some good food at least up there?
Baguettes.
Because it's French.
Yep.
Isn't there a whole problem where, like, Quebec, a lot of Quebecois want to just secede from Canada completely and
be
their
own country? Yeah. So I don't know how I factor into that, but.
So you just might, they might just say, like, well, if you're not with us, you're against us in our battle for independence from the rest of Canada.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, is with us. Steve, you told us a few weeks ago that you were getting ready to meet with a bunch of NFL teams at the Combine. The Steelers now have a new general manager named Omar Khan. Is he Pro Football Focus friendly?
Sure. We'll say he is. Everybody's friendly. They're all friendly with us.
Mm.
By the way, have Quebec City, home of the Quebec City Capitales, of the Canadian American League.
Did you play in that?
Beat them in the finals back in 05. That's right.
And what was your role in those games? Big starting pitcher?
No, middle reliever.
Steve, what am I getting myself into? Are they going to be nice to me up there? Or are they basically against anybody that doesn't speak their language?
No, they'll definitely be mean to you.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm just judging by, like, the fans were yelling at me. They were heckling me the whole time, so I assume that you'll have the same experience.
Was it in French? Like, les incompetents?
It was. It was hilarious. They thought they were at a hockey game, I think, the way they were razzing us. Omar's good, though. I think he's got a pretty good history. He's got this good combination of player evaluator, tap, understanding things. But, you know, I think having some of that familiarity with the Steelers system also helps and everything. So
are the Steelers considered, from your end of things, more old school or new school front office?
I mean, they're definitely old school, but they've gotten good results. I think Omar is open to, using more of the tools that are available. So I think they'll probably be a good mesh there. But yeah, the Steelers, I mean, you can kind of see it in some of their decisions. They've leaned more on on old school methods and ways that have gotten them there. It's not always that clean cut as far as old and new and all that stuff. But I think he'll be able to expand what they do, add more information to the mix, and, you know, hopefully continue to make good decisions or even better ones.
Very quick question to set up the real one here. Would you say that the Eagles are a new school front office right now?
Yes. I think they do a very good job with,
like, the way they allocate draft picks and all that stuff, right? Like, Roseman's aggressive and sort of unique. The reason I ask is because when I look at Howie Roseman, his age, mid-40s, his background, mainly football administration, not really personnel, except for, like, a brief time where he had that title with the Eagles, I see a lot of Omar Khan's background. Contract negotiations, mid-40s, some player personnel experience, but it's not really his bread and butter. And I just see a ton of similarities there, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, it's just to plug our podcast really quick, I interview Rick Spielman, former Vikings GM, today for over an hour, and we go through, you know, just the various things that he had to do as a GM. And it's, I think sometimes we get too caught up in, hey, they're this player evaluator that's going to put their grade on a player and then pick the guys that they like, when the job is really being a CEO. It's taking in information from everywhere, from your scouting department, from your analytics department, from your doctors and all that stuff, taking all this information in and then making the decision on top of that, which is essentially a collaborative decision, right? So, you know, I think that's the key to the job. And that's why you don't have to get, like, Johnny Super Scout into that seat, because Johnny Super Scout's probably not going to be that much better at player evaluation. But you get somebody who understands all those different components, how to take in all that information and then make decisions on that. On top of that, that's what the GM is supposed to do. And yeah, I think, you know, the Eagles have done a good job with that. That's what Howie does, right? He's got all these people that work for him, and he makes the final call based off all that information. And I think that's what Omar's going to end up doing as well.
Steve, if this is a way to spruce up or modernize the Steelers front office, from where you sit, what are things that a modern front office should believe in? Like, what should be some of the football foundational things that if you're building a team in 2022, you should have to believe in if you're a new age front office?
Yeah, I'm not saying that the Steelers don't believe in this, but maybe they don't, but pass the ball, stop the pass. I mean, I think that's the NFL. It used to be run the ball, stop the run. I think it's pass the ball, stop the pass. You know, you have to build a team that's going to move the ball effectively through the air, because that's, you know, most of the winning teams have the most efficient passing attacks, not the most passing yards, but the most efficient passing attacks. And then you have to find a way to slow down opposing passing attacks. And then when teams give you the opportunity to run, you're equipped to run, you know? So you got to, that to me, that's balance in the NFL, is, you know, winning through the pass game, but also being able to run when you need to. So I think as an axiom, I think winning through the pass game is one. And then I think it's just, you know, I think it's just trying to find value in markets, which is not, it's not really an axiom. It's something you should always be doing. But when you're team building, sometimes it's, you know, sometimes things are going to lean toward drafting a little bit more. Sometimes it's going to be, you know, going to free agency. So I think you have to be open to all of those avenues, whether it's free agency, whether it's building through the draft, re-signing your own. Open to all those different avenues, because the markets are different every single year, rather than maybe having this, like, very set philosophy in that we never do this and we never do that, just kind of being open to what the market dictates.
How do new school teams behave in the draft? I mean, I would imagine they obviously ignore running backs in the first round. What else are, like, the hallmark principles? Tons of corners, tons of wide receivers, take swings at quarterback. Like, what is, like, seriously though, what is it that yeah, those new school teams do?
I think it's accumulating picks more often than not, avoiding, never, rarely if ever, trading up for non-quarterbacks. I don't think most teams go in and say we will never draft a running back in the first round, but they at least understand positional value. And even if you love a running back, that maybe a lesser tackle is going to be a better play in the long haul for your team. So I think that's certainly a part of it. So understanding positional value, accumulating draft picks, and kind of like what the Ravens did this year, I think just trusting your board. I think the Ravens came away with 4 first round caliber players this year in the draft, only 2 of which were actually drafted in the first round, but that's you know, sticking to the board and trading down and understanding that value. I think doing that year after year is what the smart teams will do.
Steve, today ESPN said that the Steelers had the 19th best offseason. So according to them, they had a below average offseason. Would you agree with that?
I think that's about where I'd put it, probably. You know, some, I liked a lot of what they did in the draft as far as where they, you know, added some pieces. I think they did a little bit to upgrade the offensive line. We'll learn a little bit more there, how well they were protected by Big Ben and getting rid of the ball. Still think there was questions in the secondary. So, you know, they could have done more, but they did, you know, improve in a couple areas, I think. So I think middle of the pack or so is fair. That's where 19th is, middle of the pack.
What are moves, a move or moves that you would have liked to see them make? Like, I'm talking realistic ones, given finances and everything else, that you think would have given them a better offseason, more towards the top of the league.
Yeah, it's tough to say they should have done these other things, but let's just say when you're rebuilding an offensive line, I like the way the Bengals did it, right? I think they got three starters pretty kind of on the cheap who were better players than, say, the guys the Steelers got. So that's just an example, right? The Bengals got Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, and then eventually Lyle Collins, which I think is a better haul than bringing in, say, Mason Cole and James Daniels, maybe for comparable money, a little bit less money in Pittsburgh. But those are the types of things. I think it's not so much like here's this one move, but as a whole, I think there were maybe better decisions to be made on the offensive line. Or, you know, I think I kind of like the cornerback moves of Levi Wallace and Akilah Witherspoon, bringing him back. I like both of those players. I would just, you know, go back to that well, maybe with another one, you know, more volume there in the secondary. You know, I always say that the depth in the secondary is crucial. So I think it's a couple of those things. It's depth plays along the offensive line and in the secondary where I think they could have maybe done a little bit more.
Steve, where can people listen to your podcast?
Just search PFF NFL podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple or Spotify or wherever it might be, even on YouTube.
Thank you, Steve. We'll talk next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Steve Palazzolo, PFF. Rick Spielman. Any relation to Chris Spielman?
I would always think there would be, but I don't think there is.
They're brothers.
They are?
Yeah.
Didn't look that one up.
Carl Pickens. Any relation to the new Steelers receiver, George Pickens?
None that I know of.
You're right.
I didn't know Rick Spielman was Chris Spielman's brother. Should I have? Is that like something?
Yes.
Is that something that's a failing grade for me?
Joe Starkey, any relation to the former San Francisco 49ers broadcaster of the same name?
Who also called the band is out on the field. No.
No?
Donnie, did you know Rick and Chris Spielman were brothers?
No.
I just thought Spielman's a common enough name.
Did you know that Emilio Estevez is brothers with
Charlie Sheen?
Charlie
yes.
Sheen.
And
yes.
Martin Sheen's the dad?
Why did he go with
and
Emilio
Charlie,
Estevez?
Well,
oh no, that was his real name.
The other
name.
Way around.
Yeah,
he's the only
right.
one that kept the same name.
That's right.
Charlie Sheen and Martin Sheen were the ones that changed the name.
They are both Estevez's. That's right.
Charlie Estevez?
I don't know if his first name was even Charlie. But I know, yeah, you're
Martin
right.
Estevez?
Emilio Estevez is the only one of them who kept his real name. I mean, Martin Sheen is a cool actor name. I will give him that. Like, Sheen sounds cool.
What was that? What was that show he had? Something about men?
Two and a Half.
You watch that?
Two and a Half Men. It's like on syndication and reruns all the time. You catch it.
So that's yes?
No, not really. Did you ever watch The West Wing?
No.
Donnie?
No. I've watched Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men basically had the same plot. There's the nerdy brother, the kid, some buxom woman that Charlie Sheen's character is improbably involved with, and then he does something dumb. Is that basically the plot
yeah,
of every
yeah,
episode?
Yeah, my friends and I have an ongoing joke like, oh man, my favorite episode of Two and a Half Men is on. It's the one when Charlie has sex. Because that's like 99% of them.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.